Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of bookies in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody! Welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very favorite people from when I was a very little kid. Mike, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm drinking an 805. It is a pale ale from, is it Firestone? Yeah, Firestone Walker Josh, Brewing Company.
When Josh said, yeah, you had me.
Yeah.
I was good with sure. that. Sure, why not? Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am drinking some Johnny Walker Blender's Batch. I have decided to go non-Kentucky for the rest of my days until Mitch McConnell's out of office.
Now, are you really going to stick with that? Because that's a pretty bold move, my friend.
I am. You know, after his comments about, not ever doing any more COVID relief because states should just go bankrupt because he doesn't want to bail out states for any of their past mistakes. And it's like, no, we're talking about COVID relief. We're not talking about anything they did in the past. I was just like, you know what? I've had enough of this shit staying from Kentucky that has been preventing progress in the U.S. and has been subverting American voters. I've just had enough of it. So I'm not going to buy anything from Kentucky that I know of. So I'm not going to buy any. I'm not going to drink any Basil Hayden. I'm not going to drink any Woodford Reserve, any Jim Beam products. I'm not going to eat any Uncrustables. I'm not going to eat any Pop Tarts.
Oh my God, no Uncrustables?
No Uncrustables. Wow. I'm not even going to drink the Basil Hayden's upstairs until that shit stain is out of office.
That's, I love this argument that Mitch McConnell has actually made because it brings to light some of the original states' rights versus, federal rights when it came to bailing out the economy and when we first created the United States. Do we have the states who owe money be the same as the states that do not owe money in a federalist economy? And Mitch McConnell seems to have never read a fucking history book. It doesn't work unless we all pitch in. Because someday Kentucky's going to be in the shit.
And I am more than willing to help Kentucky to be in the shit by not buying any of their products.
You know what? I'm going to try to stand with you on that. It's going to take me a while. I got to find out where Tom's is from.
Contact tracing knows no borders.
Contact tracing knows no borders. I love that. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, and I am having one of my last saturated from Treehouse, one of my favorite new beers from them, and I'm enjoying it. It's a big one, 8.3.
Tell me why it is one of your last ones. Are they discontinuing it?
No, I just haven't been able to get to Treehouse.
Hey, do me a favor, by the way. If you come across any 26.5 from – who makes that?
26.2. It's
Sam Adams. If you come across any, grab it up for me. It's my wife's favorite beer. They didn't make any this year because, of course, they postponed the marathon. So I haven't been able to find it for her.
Alrighty.
And that's a good beer, but it's a shrinking market for beers. It's getting smaller and smaller because of all these restaurants and bars that are closed. Speaking of shrinking and getting smaller, king of the segues, today we're going to be talking about shrinking superheroes and villains. And everybody, hands up. Let's see your hands. Hands up. Hands up. First known shrinking superhero.
Dollman, 1939.
Dollman 1939, Michael wins it. That was going to be my first one to talk about. Mike, was that on your list?
It was, only because he had Elmo the Wonder Dog as his steed.
He did indeed have Elmo the Wonder Dog. It was one of the ones I wanted to talk about, but Mike, I bow to you, my friend. Go ahead. Go with Doll Man.
No. You run with it, and I will throw in the parts I love about Doll Man, like the fact that he's one of the few superheroes that got to plow the Phantom Lady.
Plow?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset your delicate discourse.
He made sweet. All right, so the secret identity of Doll Man, the world's mightiest might, was Daryl Dane. He invents a formula that lets him shrink down to 6 inches, making him the size of an action figure. He retains, though, all of his strength, for a man his normal size. So if the 6-inch guy punches you, it's like a normal-sized man giving you a good knock on the old jaw. He does have a sidekick that's a great dang named Elmo the Wonder Dog. Occasional steed, often rescuer, and he also had the Doll Plane, which was a model airplane that was in his study. Here's the thing, and this pisses me off to this day. He's the same weight and the same strength as a normal man, but he can fly a fucking model airplane?
Yeah.
That does not work for me.
Model airplanes back in 1939 were really well made.
Yeah, they were like Tonka tough. It's not like today's toys, Tom. I mean, everything was different back then.
You know what? I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. He also flew with Doll Girl.
That's right. You want to talk a little bit about Doll Girl?
Doll Girl, one of the first female superheroes introduced she makes her first appearance in the same issue, Feature Comics number 37 or something like that. Created by Will Eisner. She is getting blackmailed because she wrote racy letters to her college professor. And yeah. So Doll Man comes to the rescue to thwart the blackmail scheme, and then she ends up joining him on his misadventures as Midge the Doll Girl, even though her real name was Martha.
Well, Midge the Doll Girl is her secret identity.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Come on, man.
That tracks.
Doll Man had a really bad costume. I'd like to put that out there. He had, like, weird shorts and a cape and weird shorts and, like, elf boots. He was a weird costume. And also, like, people were often just amused when they saw Doll Man come running at him, because it's a 6-inch man running at you in elf boots and short shorts.
This is one of the proudest moments of my fathering just happened right now, when my daughter looked over from the couch and said it was issue 27 of Feature Comics.
Yeah. Fathering? Really?
Yeah, because I'm doing it right now.
You're fathering real well.
She is able to correct me on Doll Man's first appearance.
Good man. And she's right. I was about to say 27 also.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But I'm not your daughter.
Yeah. You could be.
Yeah. You could be.
Play your cards right.
Play my cards right. Do you want me to call you daddy? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. Doll Man, also one of the members of the Freedom Fighters. That's how I was first introduced to him in the Freedom Fighters series.
Oh, yeah.
And a member of All-Star Squadron, because Roy Thomas brought in just about every Golden Age hero that DC Comics owned the rights for. And later on becomes a member of Shade. But I don't like the later iterations of Doll Man, except for the New 52 version where he was plowing Phantom Lady. But other than that, I haven't been much of a fan of Doll Man. He does have that ridiculous costume.
It is a bad costume. So let's talk a little bit about the movies. Mike, were you a fan of the movies?
I've never seen any of the movies.
So they made a bunch of movies, but it was starring Tim Thomerson. These movies, Tim Thomerson right off the bat. Now, these movies weren't actually about Doll Man. This was just kind of an odd kind of parallel kind of thinking. Doll Man in this one is Tim Thomerson, aka Brick Bardo, and Brick Bardo is this bounty hunter from the future who, when he travels to Earth, becomes 12 inches tall, but he has all the strength of a hard-boiled, normal-sized space bounty hunter detective. All right. The Doll Man things were kind of fun. If you watch them, you'll get a laugh. It's fun. It's the same guys that made Puppet Masters and all of those movies. As a matter of fact, Puppet Master and Doll Man do have a crossover at some point, so you got that to look forward to in your life.
Holy moly, Jackie Earle Haley was in
Doll Man. That is true. That is true.
And I love Tim Thomerson. He's such a nice guy.
Really? Is he a nice guy? You met him?
He's fantastic. I met Tim Thomerson at a Star Wars convention. I don't know why he was there, because he wasn't in Star Wars, but there were several other sci-fi people there for no reason. And I walked up to him, and there was this big rock on his table. Huh. And I was like, hey, Tim Thomerson, can I get something signed by it? He's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, what's up with the rock? And he's like, I don't know, some idiot fan came up, told me it was a magic meteor, and they were going to give it to me, and it was going to bond us for life. I'm like, what are you going to do with it? And he picked it up and threw it away. And he's like, hey, I got to run to the bathroom. Can you watch my booth? And I was like, sure. He's like, some blind kid said he was going to come back and get a signature. If he does, just sign it. He won't know. And so I ended up hanging out for like half the afternoon just sitting at Tim Thomerson's table.
That is awesome. I love that.
He's hilarious.
You should have taken that rock and then and had him sign it. That way you could have been bonded with Tim Thomerson for life.
That's true.
From now on, every time I see Tim Thomerson, I'm like, hey, enjoying that magic meteor I gave you?
Bonded us
and just walking away.
Walking away. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. All right, that's great. I love that. Tommy, who's your favorite shrinker?
I really liked Yellow Jacket, the original Hank Pym Yellow Jacket, of course.
You gotta talk about all of them if you're gonna talk about them. I mean,
I'm not gonna talk about all of them.
You gotta. What do you mean you're not gonna? You fucking prick, you have to. You can't just say Yellow Jacket and move the fuck on.
So, first appearance, Avengers 59.
You're gonna try. You're gonna actually try.
created by Roy Thomas and John Buscema. Originally created when Hank Pym, of course, you know, as all of Hank Pym's greatest creations happened when Hank Pym wasn't quite himself. Seems like he's always not quite himself. He's always either, you know, under some robot's control or...
Are we talking about the Scientist Supreme, Hank Pym?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. This is who that I'm going to drink, because I had the Scientist Supreme on my list, but I did not know that it was Hank Pym was Yellow Jacket. So there we go.
There you go.
Yeah, Hank Pym was the original Yellow Jacket, and originally he was a bad guy, but really he didn't fool anybody. And he proposed to Janet Van Dyne, and she knew that he was Hank, so she married him. And that's how she got married to Hank Pym. And I always thought it was one of the best characters with Hank Pym in it. It was a cool looking character. It had a good set of powers. He could shrink, fly, had bioblasts. He could still communicate with insects. I thought it was one of the nicer looking character creations. I thought it had a much nicer look to it than Ant-Man. It's just one of my favorite.
And while we're talking about Yellow Jacket, Tom did mention the other versions of Yellow Jacket. Yellow Jacket might be one of the few shrinking supervillains. I can't think of any other supervillains other than Atomica and Yellow Jacket.
Can anybody else? Star.
What?
Dwarf Star?
Dwarf Star. I don't know.
So All New Atom. Arch Nemesis.
Oh, yeah, I talked about him when we talked about that series. Fuck, I completely forgot. Well, you, sir, have earned another drink. Ah. Dwarf Star, yes.
The Dwarf Star.
The Dwarf Star.
I think that was when we were talking about underrated supervillains, and I just completely fucking forgot about him. And he was my pick.
Yeah.
He's forgettable.
He is definitely forgettable.
He's still underrated, yeah. Can't even...
Yeah. So underrated, as a matter of fact.
So underrated.
All right, Josh, who's your first pick?
It's not a great category for me, and I'm going to cheat I'm totally cheating. I understand that what I'm about to say does not technically.
You can't do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I'm not doing Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He's doing the Micronauts.
Thank you, Michael.
You are welcome.
He's doing Baron Karza.
Absolutely. Baron Karza, first of all, one of the greatest – he is an awesome character design. Second of all, he was probably one of the greatest toys of my youth. I mean, the Micronauts toys, even though it took a while to get into the comics, Micronauts toys were so fucking fantastic.
So good. So good.
My Baron Karza, I mean, he must have been like, what, 10 inches tall? He had ball bearings at the top of all his limbs, magnets to hold him together. He was interchangeable. You turn that motherfucker into a centaur and a spaceship. Like, what else did you want as a kid? They were freaking die-cast. They were hard as freaking nails. They could survive anything, and they all had shooting plastic rockets that could knock your teeth out or you could choke on if you swallowed them. They were awesome.
How hard have you thrown one of those suckers at your brother?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I put Baron Karza probably went through two windows in his career at my house. I mean, that guy was – he was rock solid. Absolutely. And the whole toy line, and I was looking one up today. I couldn't remember what he was called, and I think I found him, and it is Pharoid. I also had Pharoid, who's supposed to be like an ancient pharaoh. He came with this like space-age sarcophagus. He was
I remember the sarcophagus.
He was so awesome. Oh, my God. Micronauts, they're okay comic book characters. They've interacted with some of the Marvel world.
The X-Men.
The X-Men crossover was really good.
Yeah. Really to top it all. They were pre-shrunk. I don't know if we can consider them shrinking heroes. They were pre-shrunk. They were like the Shrinky Dinks of the Marvel world. But the toy line when I was a kid is just too amazing not to bring them up.
Well, I really like the Micronauts. But with the X-Men, there was a whole you're giants. No, you're small. There was that whole weird thing.
Yeah.
So who knows what was real? I mean, Hank Pym could probably figure it out, but we can't. All right, for my next pick, I'm going to do the first same-sex romance in all of comic books. Mikey, do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I was just wondering why you skipped me for my number one.
Yeah.
I thought your number one – my apologies.
You asked who the first character was, and I just piped up.
We shared our number one together, my friend.
I would love to share it with you, but he was not my number one.
Let's hear your number one, brother.
My number one is the third – or second, depending on your point of view, Ant-Man, Scott Lang. I love Ant-Man. He has two, if you count the different volumes, of my favorite series of comics by Nick Spencer.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Just because I'm not great with all the iterations, is this the one that bangs the Blue Beetle?
Yes. No, this is the one who bangs the Beetle.
Beetle, you're right.
The Blue Beetle is Ted Kord, and he would not appreciate being penetrated by Scott Lang.
Wouldn't he?
Well,
who knows?
Who even cares if you get penetrated by Scott Lang?
He wouldn't even notice.
Right. I mean, everyone loves Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. That's true. Fucking charming.
I'm like, come on, he's charming. He's like, just let this happen. All right, Paul Rudd. Can you not go after this?
I mean, and.
What is this, a scavenger hunt? You got to touch my colon. Yeah. All right, Paul Rudd.
So if you have not read the Nick Spencer run on Ant-Man, what are you waiting for? Go and pick up those volumes because it is hilarious, the misadventures that he gets on and his whole crew with Grizzly. And
is he in there?
Yeah,
Grizz is his hired muscle.
Is the cousin in there that always over-explains stuff in there?
No, that's just the movie shit.
That's just in the movie.
Oh, I want him to be everywhere. I want him to be here.
I want him to be here.
When Paul Rudd is penetrating to me, I want him to be narrating him. Do you remember that one time Paul Rudd fucked you? I heard it from a friend that he came in. He said, I'm on a scavenger hunt. I have to touch a colon.
This one time, there was this guy in this closet, and he had a camera on you, and Paul Rudd came up behind you and convinced you. I was totally into that.
So he also has one of my favorite Avengers covers of all time, and that is Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, has the arrow drawn, and fucking Scott Lang is hanging on the air, ready to get shot. Love that cover. Who are they fighting in that issue? Fun Alex fact. Do you guys remember who they are fighting?
Stiltman.
No, good God, they can't. Come on. Ant-Man and fucking Hawkeye against Stiltman, he'd crush him. No, Taskmaster.
I was going to say Taskmaster,
So you're saying a tiny little Ant-Man holds onto a razor-sharp arrow going at that speed without getting his fingers cut off.
Well, he can actually sit behind the head of the arrow, cutting the air resistance and stick right behind it as it goes.
So the lead of the winds.
Comparative strength of himself to cling on, and he only weighs, you know, less than a, you know.
And he is an engineer.
And he's an engineer.
He probably did the math. I didn't do the math. He probably, you're right. He did the math.
Sorry. I didn't mean to distract from your number two. Who is your number two, Tom?
Well, hold on, Mike. I just want to say I love that series. You recommended it to me. I went out and bought them all. And honestly, the best part of that series has nothing to do with them being superheroes.
I was about to say the same exact thing. Mike, you recommended that to me. It's one of my very – it's my second favorite comic book you ever recommended to me, right outside of the Secret Six or the
Superior
Sinister
Foes
Six.
Of Spider-Man.
Superior Foes. Holy shit. Both terrific, but the Ant-Man one is terrific. You have great taste.
Which app would you guys want to use? Hench?
What was the other one?
What was the other one, LT? Come on.
Come on.
Was it Goon?
Come up with it.
No.
Minion.
Minion. No. Minion sounds right.
What's it?
I think it was Minion or Hench.
Hench made me sound like I was a professional compared to the other one, which is what I was thinking.
I would go
the other one was like more like Goon or like Tough. Just sit there and not be right, LT. I'm going to go with my number two, which was one of the very first same-sex relationships in any comic book. Mike, do you know who I'm talking about? I'll open it up to everyone else, too. I thought Mike might get it. Now, and by the way, I didn't know this one until I did some research this weekend. Nobody? Shrinking Violet. Do you guys remember Shrinking Violet way back in the Legion of Superheroes?
Yeah, she was involved with Colossal Boy.
She was involved with Colossal Boy. Very good. Which, by the way, talk about a mismatch. Shrinking. So Shrinking Violet was always very shy. That was part of her whole kind of shtick. She was very shy. She never really thought she fit in. Her power was that she could shrink, making her good at espionage and the like. This kind of gave her not only an inferiority complex, but also think of the name itself. A Shrinking Violet is a woman who tries to fade into the background at a party or a business meeting or anything she's doing. Her real name was Salyu Digby. I'm not sure where the Digby name comes into place.
Because of Ralph and Sue.
So from way back in the day, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I just started doing
research. She's supposed to be a relative of Ralph and Sue from the future.
All the way back then. Wow, great. So after she goes through a couple of different iterations and a couple of different of her own hero's journey where she loses that whole Shrinking Violet persona, not the name, but she becomes less of a Shrinking Violet. She becomes more of herself. She dumps some of the guys that she has tried to date in the past. She was always a little bit of a Lois Lane type character, always pining and mooning and trying to get the boys to notice her, always trying to get the boys to like her. Not only Colossal Lass, but also Sun Boy and Lightning Lad. While she was going through all of this, she became really good friends with Lightning Lass. So Lightning Lass and her start becoming friends, and then they become more than friends. And it is very thinly veiled that they're more than just friends, even back as far as 19. Let me make sure I got these years right. I don't have those years in front of me, but way back in the early Adventures of the Legion, it's very thinly veiled that they're more than friends. And then it gets retconned later that they had been more than friends for the entire time, making it one of the longest lasting and longer same-sex romances in the DC universe.
Lightning in a bottle, one might say.
One might say. So, so first she was infatuated with Lightning Lad, and then became infatuated with Lightning Lass. So I guess you could say she has a type. She has a type.
It's electric.
Boogie, oogie, oogie.
Hey, by the way, the knockoff hench app was called Lackey.
Lackey.
I knew it was something that I was like, I'd rather be called a hench than a lackey.
Yeah, there's no way I want to go for be a lackey. That sounds,
That sounds more like boots, lick spittle.
Yeah, or toady. Like, who wants to be the toady? Yeah. Unless you're the toady to Vermilion and Dragonlance. I always liked that toady.
You know what, toady? I always liked in the Drac Pack. He was the toady was called toady, and he was the sidekick to one of the bad guys. But I still liked him.
Wasn't toady a wet sprocket?
I believe.
If you were around in the early 90s, that joke just killed.
Nailed it.
I was into alt rock. Hey.
I went to college.
My friend's band opened for toady, and we went to the show in Boston.
What was the friend's name? Band's name?
Wheat.
And what? Oh yeah, I remember Wheat.
Yeah.
Wow, way back in the day. What venue was it?
That was the House of Blues, the original House of Blues.
I don't remember about the original.
What, the one?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. It was the. Yeah. That's where you got terribly, terribly chafed.
Right, Wheat?
No.
Wheat into chafe?
Josh figured out that the secret to riding a bucking bull was gripping with your thighs. And he's like, I figured it out. All you got to do is grip with your thighs. So he rides this bucking bronco at, like, age, I won't say, because I think it was illegal at the time. But, oh, my God, were you chafed.
Yeah, that was a –
That was awful.
Uncomfortable,
like,
following
skin days. Your thighs. Were you wearing shorts? Was it sandpaper? Was it a weird sorority initiation in the back room afterwards? What happened to you?
It was a tough night.
It was a tough night. Sorry. LT, who's your second choice?
My second choice was Ant-Man, Scott Lang, but since Mikey took it, I'm going to go with Bumblebee from the Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Cool.
So nice. Bumblebee from Teen Titans number 45 in December of 1976. I know the guest from...
Bumblebee was a mostly a bad guy.
She started as a bad guy. Just to mess with the Teen Titans because she didn't like how they were treating her boyfriend Mal. But she ends up becoming the first black female superhero in the DC universe.
Huh? Wait, no. She doesn't predate Vixen.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Vixen came around with JLA Detroit. You're just embarrassing yourself now.
No. The Ashcan version of Vixen.
What are you talking about?
The Ashcan version of Vixen came out way before that. They just didn't print it.
Then how did she come out before that if it was never printed?
Printed.
It still counts. Shut up.
You can't draw shit in your basement.
If you came up with it in your head, you can't say, well, I came up with that before anybody ever.
Vixen came out.
LT, I'm sorry. Tell us more about Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where was I? So came out Teen Titans. Karen Beecher Duncan in Teen Titans, as you said, she originally was there just to highlight her friend Mal, but then became one of the team members. She has flight, enhanced strength, size manipulation, she can project energy, she has sonic blasts, she uses all sorts of big gadgetry, and she's a great character. She's been in Young Justice, she's been in some of the Teen Titans on TV cartoons, and she's just a great little character. See what I did there?
Yeah. 81, Tom. Vixen came out in 81, Bumblebee in 76.
Fine.
Just saying.
Yeah, but when did the Ashcan come out, Josh?
Yeah,
Ashcan.
Yeah.
My ass cleanse came out in 73. Right out of my mom's Lysol clean vagina.
Noise.
I went too far.
No. You went just far enough.
And even the ash can, and just to be clear, 1978 was the ash can.
I still went too far. Okay.
1978 was the ash can, so you still beat.
Still beat. There we go.
It's not me winning. I did not have anything to do with the creation of Bumblebee, but let me tell you about my number two pick. And that is the greatest shrinking character of all time, and that is the Justice League's Adam Ray Palmer. I think we can all agree that he is the greatest shrinking hero of all time, right?
I do not agree.
You're all wrong. The Adam is the greatest because he has single-handedly fucking taken out Darkseid.
How do you do it?
I agreed.
In Rock of Ages.
You can't stop denying that I agreed.
Thank you, Josh.
Wait, Josh, you agree?
And LT agrees too. All right, great. All right.
I don't.
You're still wrong, but in Rock of Ages, in that storyline, Darkseid had a force field up and nobody could get through it. So he gets on an arrow and tells flare arrow and tells Green Arrow to fire it at Darkseid. And Darkseid, so he does, and Darkseid's like, is that how you intend to stop me? Because it bounces off his force field. That's ridiculous. But what he doesn't know is that Adam knows if he can see Darkseid, then light can pass through his force field. So he shrinks down and rides a beam of light into Darkseid's eyes and then into his brain and fucking takes him out from inside his brain noggin. The Adam. The greatest shrinking superhero of all time.
I'm sorry. Did you really have to go with brain noggin?
Yeah.
Brain noggin, yeah.
That's right. Hey, I'm not the one who created science. The new gods, all right? That's just how their anatomy works. You got a problem. Take it up with Jack Kirby.
I will take it up with Jack Kirby. Josh, I'm sorry. Did we get your second already?
No, because it's pretty honestly, I think
Micronauts are one, two, and three for Josh.
Pretty much.
All right, Josh, I think you're going to agree with my number three then.
Let me just kick one out here, and it's not because I love the character, but I did love the series, and everybody should read Invincible. It's a comic with a lifespan, and Shrinking Ray is in it. Just he's another character out there who sort of fits the mold. Get in there and just honestly, I'm just pitching Invincible here.
Invincible is terrific. That's another one that I grabbed up out of nowhere, and boy, that really hits you. Oh, yeah. Josh, look at your dog. He's a little paws moving. He's dreaming.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, here's one that barely fits the mold, but I think none of you can disagree that fits the mold, and that's Puck.
I can disagree.
I mean, why? He does shrink.
Does he?
He's a normal sized man who takes in the dagger of Akabakataka, and because of the evil of it, it shrinks his body down to the size of a little person, a dwarf. He's a normal sized man if that artifact isn't in his body. And when he's a little person, that's what gives him his superpowers. He has all the weight and strength. He's just shorter because the evil makes him, transforms his body into what it was supposed to be, a monster, but monster being relative, I guess, to the time.
Okay, then. I'm not going to disagree with you there if that's the case. I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, it's he used to be an Indiana Jones type adventurer. He travels to Egypt. He finds this artifact. A bunch of bad guys are trying to steal this artifact. He realizes that the only way to get rid of this artifact is to absorb it into his own body.
To swallow.
And not swallow. I think he has to stab himself in the chest with it.
That seems like an awful big risk as an archaeologist to hide a knife.
Yeah.
I'm never going to look for it inside my chest.
I remember that time I stole that golden fork, and I'm like, fuck these guys. I know where I can look for it. And
archaeologist, not a medical doctor.
Not a medical doctor. It's true. Yeah.
So as part of his tragic backstory, if he wants to be a normal sized person, all he has to do is give up the evil. And the evil hurts him. It's not it's not pleasant to control and keep this artifact in him. He goes to the hospital several times, and they tell him, hey, we think we know what's giving you so much problems. There's a fucking giant knife in you. He's like, oh, well, besides that. And like, oh, well, it's still trying to kill you from the inside. And he's had several operations to try to keep the knife that's inside him from killing him, both physically and spiritually. Doctor Strange has done multiple operations to keep the knife from killing him, metaphysically, and other doctors have actually had to keep the knife from killing him physically. And yet he never just lets the knife leave his body. He retains his small stature, and because of that, he does have several superpowers, which are really cool, including the strength of a normal-sized man, 6'2", of good physical ability at a little person's height, and he can really tumble really fast, really cool. That's my favorite shrinking superhero. That's my number one, because Puck is awesome. I love Puck. Tom, I'm surprised you didn't take him as an Alpha Flight fan.
No, I didn't take him.
Did you not, be honest, did you not think of him, or did you not take him because he wasn't one of your faves?
Well, he wasn't one of my top four.
All right, well, let's go with number three there, Tommy.
The all-new Adam Ryan Choi.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, why? Why, Mike? You took mine. You took Scott Lang.
I know.
You son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Why do you like him so much, Tommy?
He's got a bang stick. What's it not to like about a bang stick?
I have no idea what a bang stick is.
He has this hyperdrive that he calls a bang stick that allows him to travel super fast in the quantum realms, in the small worlds. And he also uses it as a weapon. All new Adam being written by Gail Simone, originally fleshed out by Grant Morrison. And a great little series, only lasted 25 issues. Ryan Choi, he's a physicist who takes over at Ivy University for Dr. Ray Palmer. He's living in Ray Palmer's house. He finds a bio belt. He thinks Ray Palmer left it for him, and he takes over as Adam.
He is actually the all-new Adam. Seriously, I love the Adam, the Silver Age Adam, just because of, you know, all the Justice League comics I read as a kid. But the Ryan Choi All New Adam series is the best Adam series there is. So like LT said, I agree wholeheartedly. 25 issues, you're not going to see a better Adam storyline than that. And he gets horribly murdered. They make him a man in a refrigerator just to advance the plot line of the Terror Titans.
Well, that's a harsh way to spoil a storyline there, Mike. But you are the spoiler.
That's because he's the spoiler.
That's right. I'm spoiling a comic that came out 14 years ago.
Fuck you guys. All right, I kind of lost track.
Spent. What's up?
I got a number three.
All right.
Go for it, Mike.
Now that I can't take Ryan Choi, I'm going to go with the greatest leader of the Avengers ever, and that is Janet Van Dyne.
Sure, terrific.
The Wasp is the person who named the Avengers. She is one of the founding members. She is just all kinds of awesome. And what I especially love about her is her costume, because it varies all the time, because she is a fashion designer and is constantly redesigning her costumes.
Now, when she first came out, she was mostly just Hank's girlfriend who was along for the ride, and she kind of wanted to be part of this new thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was more of a thrill for her. She's a debutante, rich debutante, and just is a thrill junkie, hanging out with Hank Pym, trying to get him to loosen up. Fortunately, he loosens up a little too much and smacks her around at one point. But
one point?
Well, yeah, really only one point. Well, unless you're talking about the Ultimates. Yeah. Which is something totally different. Anyway, Jenna Van Dyne, she's awesome.
She's awesome. I really do and enjoy her. I bought one of the Christmas comic books of the Avengers, and I found out for the first time that she could also grow. I never saw the Wasp grow before. And I was like, oh, did she do that often? Was that...
Yeah, she's mostly a shower.
Oh. Because I'm not.
She is able to grow because of the Pym particle. She can go either way, but she usually tends to shrink and use her bioblast.
Does her bioblast work when she grows also?
Yep.
Cool. Just wondering. Tom, got any other ones?
No, I'm spent.
Oh, you blew your wad.
I did.
Mikey, got any last ones?
Dwarf Star. Dwarf Star and Atomica, two of the, and Yellow Jacket, the only three shrinking villains that I can think of. Atomica, of course, was introduced in the New 52. She is part of the Earth 3 criminal syndicate, the crime syndicate. So she is an evil version of the Atom. She joins the Justice League and then ends up betraying them later on. And we've go listen to our underrated villains if you want to hear anything about Dwarf Star, because I completely forgot about that asshole. And he is an asshole, right? And we can all agree he's an asshole. And Yellow Jacket is the third one, but again, yeah, she's barely worth mentioning.
Yeah, it sounds like a German punk band, like Atomica. Can we just go? We're just going to a show. We're going to go watch Atomica.
Atomica. Yeah. And now for my next song, that's right, you like!
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah. All right, I guess that'll bring us to the front of the long box. What do you got for me, Mikey?
At the front of the long box, there's this awesome store that's on Etsy called Mouseketeer Trading, where I just ordered some geeky face masks. You know what? We'll just talk about that probably later on. LT, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I've got Mouseketeer Trading Company. It's this Etsy store that donates masks to healthcare workers and maybe even some nonprofit food pantry workers.
Huh. Maybe we, you know what? Why don't we just interview them?
All right, there we go. Let's have that interview.
It's probably the best.
Why don't you introduce yourselves, guys?
I'm Emily.
And I'm Liz.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Liz. Where are you guys out of?
We're from Sturbridge, Mass.
Sturbridge, Massachusetts. I hear that's a great place to do reenactment stuff. Are you guys reenactors?
No.
You're not reenactors? Why not?
No.
It just never happened.
Are you telling me now? Be serious now. Serious. Straight face. Straight face. You've never churned butter?
No.
Not never. Once?
Nope.
I've churned butter. Come on.
Once. I did it once at Old Sturbridge.
Yeah, she did it once in college. Yeah, there we go.
You tried. You're just experimenting, though, right?
Well, you're a butter person now, so you can go back. So I've been told by some of my good friends that you guys are making masks to help healthcare workers, and it has kind of a geeky spin on it. So why don't you tell me a little about that?
We are. So we recently started an Etsy shop during quarantine because, you know, you have a billion extra hours of time, so might as well do something good with it. So what we're doing is we're selling masks for either $10 or $12, depending on what style you get. And then every purchase also contributes to us buying fabric to buy to make donation masks for healthcare workers and other essential workers that are still working during this awful time.
Well, that's terrific. Give us an example of some of the masks I could order.
So you can either get an elastic for your ears or like a tie behind your head style. And then we have some that are just like straight squares that are pleated so that you can fold them around your face. Or we have the newer models that are kind of curved more to your face and go up above your nose. So you can choose between those. And then we have 34 different fabrics that you can choose from. Some of them are Disney, some of them are more Star Wars, and some of them are just like plain or patterned, that for people that don't want, you know, geeky stuff, but that's boring. So,
So what's your favorite one that you've made so far? What's your favorite fabric?
My favorite fabric is definitely Stitch fabric, because he's my favorite Disney character. So like any Stitch fabric that we've used so far has definitely been my favorite.
Yeah, I like the Star Wars fabric. We have two different Star Wars ones. We also have Avengers, which is really cool. I haven't made one out of Avengers yet, so we still have a lot of that. But I like all of them, honestly. I think we've made some good choices. I mean, I know we're a little biased, but...
Well, we're all nerdy geeks here, so we're a little bit on the biased side.
So, where is your store on Etsy? What's the name of it again?
It's Mouseketeer Trading Company.
You are not afraid of the mouse house, are you? you're just going to just take your name and just throw it right out there on Front Street and dare Disney to sue you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we changed it.
We spelled it differently.
It's spelled T-E-A-R because our original Etsy company was making mouse ears based on Disney characters. So that was a fun little twist that we added to it so that we wouldn't get sued.
Yeah. So shameless plug, if people want more than just masks, we also make custom Disney ears for your next Disney trip when the parks reopen.
You guys are definitely wearing the ovaries on the outside, daring Disney to sue you like that.
Mouseketeers?
Mouseketeers, like ears.
Mouseketeers. Yeah, not like
tears.
That's horrible for a mask.
It sounds a lot like Mouseketeers to me, as in tears, as in what happens when they confiscate your stock.
Yeah.
Tears rolling
that face. However, I will just say, being somewhat familiar, because you are buying fabric that has already been licensed, they cannot sue you for any kind of copyright infringement with the patterns that you're using, because those have already been paid for and licensed. So you're good to go. They'll just sue the shit out of you for your name.
So check the trademark ahead of time, and technically it expired like 10 years ago, so we're set.
Oh, all
on
right.
Top of
you're absolutely 100% right. You're easily going to beat the Disney lawyers with that logic. You've got them in a corner now, kids. But first, I do want to thank you guys for doing that. How many masks have you sold, and how many do you think you've given away now?
We've made 80 masks for donation, and we have another 30 that we're making for the end of this week. And I think we've made over 54 sales with multiple, like, masks per sale. So I want to say we've probably made total like at least 200-250 masks so far.
Yeah.
That's terrific. This week I'm actually taking over as a coordinator for a food bank. I'm going to be the top guy there, and I'm going to need some masks. Can I count on you guys?
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear. See, I'm making connections all over the place. And I vowed to buy myself a personalized mask.
Awesome.
And okay. I'll ask for donations for the others. That's awesome. How I roll. Give a little, get a little. It's called a kickback, kids. Learn it. Mikey, are you going to order a mask?
I have ordered masks. I heard that they're on their way. That's what Etsy told me. I don't know if you're aware. They sent them U.S. Post, and the post office is in trouble.
The post office.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm
going to give... Same way we shipped our first orders of masks, and for some reason these ones came back, so we don't really know what happened. So we apologize deeply, but we promise they're in the mail correctly this time.
Sure, I've used that excuse plenty of times. LT, you've actually gotten some of their masks, though, right? You've actually ordered and received masks from them, right?
I have, yes.
Well, what did you get?
I have ordered, received, and used said masks.
Oh.
Well, what did you get?
I got Star Wars masks.
Which Star Wars masks? Because they have the Star Wars with, like, the comic book, and then they've got, like, the X-Wing attacking the Death Star.
Oh, I like that one, too.
I got the X-Wing ones for myself and the comic book ones for my wife.
That's classy. Yeah, they didn't have Avengers when I was ordering, so now I'm thinking I'm going to have to go in and reorder Avengers for all my employees and hand them out to them.
No. You know, you got to do what you got to do, Mike.
How about the Las Vegas Raiders, my favorite football team? Any chance? That's okay. I know what that sound means.
What if he sends you the fabric?
I mean, if he sends the fabric, we can definitely make it for him. So
yeah, we've just been having trouble getting fabric because everyone's making masks right now. So it's either sold out or shipping's delayed because of everything that's going on right now. So like getting fabric has been a little rough.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Could you tell me what kind of fabric you guys are using?
We're using 100% cotton for everything. And we've made shirts for that.
100% cotton? You're using a tight stitch cotton?
Yes. Yep.
Good, because that's what's recommended. These masks, is it one layer or two?
It's actually the ones that go over your nose are two layers, and then the tie ones are three layers because I forgot to mention this, all of our masks have filter pockets in them. So even though we don't provide filters because we don't have the capacity to get the material, if you make your own filters or find material that you want to use as a filter, all of our masks have filter pockets in them so you can add your own filter as you want.
And that was my next question, of course. Those filter pockets, not really that necessary for just walking around everyday travel, but it's if you're going to be in a high-density thing, that's way more recommended.
Yeah, for sure.
For certain. All right.
Filters in mind, and it helped keep the shape of the mask as well.
It also smelled terrific because you used used ones, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Why not? I love the smell of coffee.
I'm just using a Glade Tide Pod.
I use one of my wife's socks.
All good options.
Because that's how I roll.
No, a Tide Pod is not a good option. Anybody listening out there, do not believe them. A Tide Pod is not a good option as a filter. Are you trying to kill our listeners? What the hell?
What the hell? We thought you were nice kids.
She was. I did not agree to that.
Just to clarify, I was joking about the Tide Pod.
Oh, yeah.
That was sarcasm. Oh. That was sarcasm, Mr. President of your company, Mouse and Peers. I like how I got you to harmonize the at the end. All right. Well, give us the name of your company one more time.
Mouseketeer, as in E-A-R, as in like the ears on your head, trading company.
Spell it all out. Spell it all out.
M-O-U.
Sing it. You gotta sing it. M-O-U. You guys
see
need
you
masks.
Real soon.
M-O-U-S-E-T-E-A-R, trading company. No, Mouseketeer.
You didn't even spell it right.
I didn't even spell it right.
Didn't you just graduate from college?
I'm dyslexic, so I can't spell, so I'm leaving it to her, and she spelled it wrong.
M-O-U-S-E-K-E-T-E-A-R, trading company.
On
Etsy. All right, last question, and this is important for various odd reasons. Do you have boyfriends who have to model the masks? Because I love seeing sad Etsy boyfriends who are modeling shit.
We both have boyfriends, but neither of them have bought anything from us or any donations or anything like that. So
you haven't made them like wear the mask and take a picture of them yet? Because those are hilarious pictures.
Well, we'll get on it, but I don't know the likelihood of that, you know. Yeah. So
I want to see that. I've seen like so many guys wearing ugly sweaters on Etsy that I'm like, oh, that's the boyfriend. That's not a happy camper.
We will tell them that Tom Strange directly asked specifically for them to take pictures in our masks, and hopefully that'll get them over the edge and make them do it, you know.
Over the edge and make them wear more than just the mask. I didn't ask for that.
Oh, we should do the ears.
I understand what he's talking about, and I'm not going with it.
I put it in your head now, though. It's in your world now. This is your life now, girls.
My head now. I can envision it right now.
Well, welcome to the dark side. Say your names one more time for us.
Mouseketeer Trading Company.
Our name's Emily.
But I'm Emily.
And that's Liv.
Liz. Like Elizabeth, but shorter.
Like Liz. And once again, they're on Etsy. Go find them. And thank you very much for being with us tonight, kids. You guys are great. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was a great interview, Tom.
Oh, thank you. I gotta tell you, those kids were really nice. I mean, they really were sweet kids.
And you're doing the right thing, right?
They really are. Not only are these masks compliant when it comes to just a normal face shield, but if you add the insert that they leave a pouch for, those inserts are a little hard to find. But if you do find those inserts and you add that insert, it becomes just one step below the N95.
And you can always use coffee filters for inserts if you're so inclined.
A great point that our good friend LT also made during that podcast. You can use a coffee filter. I tend to use the non-used coffee filters.
And also, if you have Tyvek around, you could use Tyvek.
What the hell's Tyvek?
Tyvek, the stuff you wrap homes with. That stuff, it's breathable, and it's small enough that it will filter out the virus. Fun Alec fact,
NPR just talked about how if you wear one of those masks, if you actually take a queen-size pair of nylons and cut them at the top and wrap it around the outer layer of the mask itself, it makes it stick closer to the face and secures it better, and it is also an added layer of protection and does better on all the tests.
And one little fun fact, if you take a woman's sock, you can make four cuts to it.
Nothing to do with COVID.
Not a little bit. You can wear that and then put the mask over it, and then at least you have a woman's sock on your face all day, and that's awesome.
Tom, put a dollar in the jar.
I will. And by the way, I've asked both Tammy and Diane to send socks for this.
That's $4, one for each cut.
You know what? I'll take it. And also, I've also ordered two masks from our good friends at Mouseketeers. And we're going to put that at the very end also. Mouseketeers at Etsy, so that they will make me a couple of different masks for some of my people at the new Elizabeth Peabody House, where I'm the new food coordinator for their food pantry.
And so far, we have donated $1,500 to that food bank. How do people go about donating, Josh?
Well, if you want to become one of our patrons, you can go to patreon.com/thelongboxguys and become our patron. For every new Patreon member we get, we will donate an additional $10 to the cause. Otherwise, you can go straight to their website and donate via PayPal. But for us, anytime if any of our members want to donate, we will pass that money along straight to the Elizabeth Peabody House to help local Boston food shelters. They do also do a lot of other work in the area, Tom, right?
Oh, we do a ton of work. We also have a preschool. We also do a little bit of daycare. And what we're most known for, of course, though, is that food pantry on Wednesday and a huge Thanksgiving dinner blowout that we do every year to make sure that no one goes without a big Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. And I'm sure I'm going to see most of you guys there with me on the front lines.
So 1 in 8 Americans normally suffer from hunger, and which is shameful in this country. And it's even worse now with 19 million people just getting unemployed in the last few weeks. So please consider going over to Patreon for that $1 a month. You not only do we donate extra money in that $1 you give, you get an extra podcast from us called The Geek Leak, so you get to hear probably another 20 minutes a week of our ranting and raving. And you can go to patreon.com/thelongboxguys if you would like to give. And you can set it up if you only want to give for like 2 or 3 months, and you don't have to keep on giving us over and over again if you don't want to.
What we can do, and Tom, if you want to coordinate this on the Patreon page, we can make a tier for donating. And all that money will go straight to food pantries local in Boston.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I can absolutely do that. I'll make a $5 tier. And if you donate that $5, we'll make sure that $4 of those dollars go straight to the food bank every single month. How's that?
Yeah, and you get the podcast. Yeah.
and the podcast. That's insanity itself.
And you just seem like a really nice person if you do that.
Yeah. And you're good looking too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Heroes don't have to wear capes.
Damn, they probably shouldn't. No yeah. capes.
Yeah, no capes.
It's a fashion faux pas.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a safety faux pas, Mike. Nobody wants to end up like Captain Thunder.
I did not realize you were OSHA.
Actually, I was going to go with Dollar Bill on that one, Josh. I was going to go with Dollar Bill.
Yeah, there was a lot of different directions there.
Yeah, anything but there's Incredibles, a couple of different superheroes that got fucked over by that cape.
Dollar Bill definitely took it in the teeth on that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a different 3-day team, but I'm going to go with this one. Superheroes, capes, 3-day team. If you're a superhero, do you have a cape? 3-day team.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to give it a capes a solid 14. It's classic feel, right?
Yeah.
And depending on who the superhero is, some of those capes are just awesome. I cannot imagine Dr. Fate without a cape, right?
Yeah. That's or Doc Strange.
Right. Yeah.
The Global Levitation. I mean, that's classic.
Yeah.
I'm going with the 11, and I'm going to tell you why.
That's fair.
There's a practicality and an impracticality to capes. One, it either has to provide a function. Batman slows his descent, often used for gliding. But for people who are not powerful enough, where if your cape were to get caught in something, it would just be an inconvenience for you to move forward. Now, Superman, Dr. Fate, Martian Manhunter, people who have capes, if the cape got caught in a building, you're either taking the building with you or the cape is tearing off, not a problem. Dollar Bill, if your cape gets caught in a freaking in a rotating door and you die because of it, downside.
What about the half cape?
I don't think the half cape is for nobody, Mike.
Oh, no. Shazam really pulled off the capelet.
No.
He's much better with the big hood, the hooded cape
so
and
much
stuff.
Better.
Yeah, oh, I like the cape. I disagree.
There's almost no room in this for the half cape, in my opinion. But I mean, there's a certain hero who has to, you know what kind of cape they're wearing. That's all.
Yeah. All right.
Safety first, people. Safety first.
Tommy,
if you know how to wear it and it's got a function, it's a 15. Because like Josh said, I mean, Batman, he knows what he's doing with that cape. He uses it for protection. He uses it to glide. He uses that cape all the time. He uses it for intimidation.
Also, as a side note, I have a friend with a half cloak, and he sewed it was like a pound and a half of lead weights into the trailing edge, and he could split a watermelon in half with that cape.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving the cape a solid 9. And the reason it's a solid 9 is because I feel like if you don't know what you're doing with the cape, you're fucked. But if you know what you're doing with the cape, you're great. So the 9 is perfect. So like if you're Superman and you put super solid weights at the bottom of the cape and you can like crush someone with it, 18. But if you're Dollar Bill, once again, you get killed by it. Yeah. Fuck you, you're dead.
Yeah. Revolving door and you die.
That's why I'm giving it a 9. It's right in the middle for me. Like, if you know what you're doing, it's great. If you don't know what you're doing, it sucks. That's why I'm giving it a 9.
See, and that's why Batman leaves by the window. Because he knows what he's doing with that cape.
He does know what he's doing with that cape. He's a smart fella. All right. But that's a little tangential to what we've been talking about all night. Josh. Got a tangent for us?
Yeah, so earlier in the evening, I mentioned Tonka Tough for toys because we were talking about toys. And I got a story about my Tonka truck when I was a kid. I had this yellow Tonka dump truck when I was a kid. And when we were kids, they were actually made of, you know, steel, right? Tonka was Tonka Tough, literally. And my father, for those of the listeners who don't know, is a chiropractor, and they have these hydraulically adjustable tables, and he was wheeling in a table, and it was probably, I don't know, 700 or 800 pounds. It was so heavy that the people delivering it with a dolly cart, the foot on the dolly split off, and they were stuck with this thing, and they couldn't move it. And so my dad was like, we could use we could use the Tonka truck. And the guy's like, there's no way that's going to work. And so, like, the guys got around, they hafted it, and they literally put this truck thing onto my Tonka truck and wheeled it into my dad's office. And let's be fair, that Tonka truck never rolled the same way again.
But
it was stronger than the dolly cart, and it got my father's hydraulic chiropractic. This is from the 80s hydraulics. We're talking, this thing looked like, this was pre-T2 Terminator kind of hydraulics. And they rolled that thing into the office, and they got it in there.
This is like the thing that they used to lift a car with.
Yeah. And it was just so amazing, and I loved that truck to the day. I don't even know what happened to it. But I have to say, so toys you loved or toys you lost?
Well, I still have my toy that I love with me, and that's Chauncey. You guys all know Chauncey. You've all met Chauncey. Had the tattoo on my arm. Chauncey was a gift to me when I was a very small child. He went to basic training with me. I hit him through all of basic training with me because I knew what would have happened. The drill sergeant found a couple of stuffed animals. Those stuffed animals did not meet noble nor dignified ends. Now, they were made to fuck each other until they died. They tore each other apart literally while the drill sergeant just smashed them together for hours in front of us. It was awful. I did not want that to happen to Chauncey. So I hit him all through basic training. I hit him all through the original Desert Shield. By Desert Storm, I was okay with having a stuffed animal. I think I had earned enough respect to put him on the bed at that point. And Chauncey did lose his body once. My dog did eat him at some point. Then I got him as a tattoo. Then I got him the tattoo put in another body. So I have a new Chauncey, and Chauncey's fine. And he's a Bigfoot, not a teddy bear. He does not like the teddy bear thing at all.
Sure.
Fair. Totally fair. That is absolutely 100% my favorite toy of all time.
So when I was a kid, I used to have the Fisher-Price Castle. And I had a whole bunch of Fisher-Price, but the castle was far and away the best. It had a trap door up at the top, and it could drop the Fisher-Price guy all the way down, and it came with a freaking dragon, a little Fisher-Price dragon. Out of all the Fisher-Price toys that I had as a kid, that is the one I still wish I had possession of.
That's a cool one. I remember that one.
So I had it must have been about 6 inches tall.
Sorry.
Okay,
go on about the 6 inches you had.
Rick Mistinger, robot that had the fist that shot out from its body. And it was completely made of metal except for those fists. And the thing was solid metal. And it was great, and I wish I still had that.
I had three of the 36-inch tall plastic rollerbots: Mazinger, Godzilla, and what was his name? He was the big red one with the crown.
Yeah, those were Shogun Warriors, right?
Yeah, the Shogun Warriors, yeah, action figures, yeah. So awesome. Godzilla was so, like, that was one of the coolest toys I ever had.
I remember Mazinger, because that was cool because they had the six rockets.
Yeah, and the spaceship that was the capsule on his head. Yeah. But yeah, I can't remember the other guy. He was all red, and he had like the five like points, and he had the big blue laser beam thing in the middle of his head.
Oh, like the Starvengers type thing.
Yeah, I can picture him, but I don't know who he was.
I'm just gonna
just
Google it.
Show the Warriors, you got him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting in there.
Mike, did you ever find out what happened to your castle?
I have no idea what happened to any of my Fisher-Price stuff. I'm assuming that they were all given to the nephews when they came of age, and who knows what happened to them. I also had a Hall of Justice. Remember those Mego action figures?
Yeah.
There was a Hall of Justice, and it was really cheesy, but there was the Hall of Justice teleporter. And on the monitor, there was a screen of some natural disaster that was happening with a little hole cut out just enough for the head of the action figure to be in. And you would put the character in the teleporter and move it over to where the monitor was, and you could then see whatever whatever hero you had put in there fighting whatever, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I remember the Star Trek teleporter, which is super hard to come by now.
Yeah, I remember that too. You just spin it around.
Yeah, yeah. And we go, brrr. Josh, did you find out what was the name of that fella?
Dragon.
Dragon, that's, yeah. That rings a bell.
Shogun Warriors, yeah, man. I always wanted Guy King, and I could never find him. He was my favorite from the cartoons. But yeah, I had Dragon and Mazinger.
Can you imagine if your dad had actually bought you the giant?
Because if I still had that, I can't even find that online at all, except in Japan.
Yeah.
So when we were kids, there was a place called Mr. Big's Toyland in Waltham, Massachusetts, which probably closed late in the 90s, and is the only store I even know of on the East Coast that at the time
– America, I know of.
Maybe America. I mean, no, there was probably San Francisco.
Maybe, all right.
But that was direct importing Japanese toys into the U.S. in the 80s. And I have a couple of toys from there. First, I had a 24-inch tall all-steel Robotech fighter that transformed. It probably took me a year to figure out how to get it from a fighter plane to a robot and back again.
And at your best, it took you like 20 minutes.
It was not easy. And the one thing I always wanted from there when we would go is they had the Yamato for the Star Blazers battleship as a toy chest. It was probably 5 or 6 feet long. It opened up as a toy chest, and it had working turrets with firing missiles on it. It was so amazing.
Insane.
I think in the 80s, it was like $225. My dad was like, there's zero chance I'm spending like over $200 on a piece of plastic for you to keep other pieces of plastic in. And I bet you right now, that $100,000.
$5,000 in the condition it would have been in after you play fucked it to death.
I can't even find it.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can't eBay anything. Honestly, I don't even know if it was something that was manufactured in any number. I cannot find it online. Right.
It might have been if it was a one of a kind.
It might have been a one of a kind. Honestly.
Jesus Christ!
I cannot find it.
It could be the 100,000 if it's a one of a kind, but at least like 5 or 6 or seven.
At least. Yeah. At least. Yeah.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Toys, love them.
The toys that made us, by the way, you guys been watching some of those?
I haven't.
They're kind of hit or miss for me. If it's a toy that grabs my attention, absolutely. I'm right in there. I love the stupid WWE ones. And they talked about how often the WWE lost the license for their own toys, and then they had to buy them back, and it was crazy. And the Star Wars one is fascinating. Like, Star Wars toys almost saved the franchise a couple times. It was just insane how that worked out. So really watch those. But if you don't care about the toy, like there's tons of toys. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about how Hungry Hippos got so popular. I just don't.
Yeah.
Dark Tower, the other way, grabbed me.
Yeah. I need to go back and I got to go to my mother's attic and see what's in there. I know I still have 2 or 3 character cases that are the Darth Vader heads, just full of action figures and accessories. I have a mostly intact Millennium Falcon, the AT-AT, the ST, the Death Star, a bunch of the playsets from back then just sitting up there. I don't know what condition they are anymore.
Yeah, it's all about the condition on those things.
Yeah, and packaging. Honestly, at this point, if it's not in the box and you don't have the original box, it's probably not worth as much as you would hope.
You would imagine.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. comics talk for comics fans.
I imagine we're just about done, except for plugs. Mikey, you got a plug for me?
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And also a shout-out to our friends over at whosnextgaming.com for all your gaming, comic book, and sex robot needs.
And Kirby Crackle has been doing a couple of different Facebook concerts. So if you haven't been following that, take out Kirby Crackle on Facebook, and you can listen in on their next concert. They've been kind of a lot of fun. Tom, you got a shout-out for me?
I'd like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
Oh, GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com for very refined T-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints and socks that Tom can use as face masks.
And damn straight. Hats now. Have you seen the new hats? They're nice.
Huh? What kind of hat? Hats. Give me
I love craft beer hat.
What?
Oh, Josh doesn't own it yet? What?
Oh, shit.
What?
Okay.
Go over to geekorthodox.com.
I'm already there ordering the hat.
Nice. Josh, before you get to that website, is there anything you'd like to...
I'd like to, you know, Friendly Neighborhood Comics, my neighborhood shop. They are packing stuff up and shipping it out. I'd also like to thank all of the local breweries in Massachusetts, including Mighty Squirrel and Treehouse and Trillium, for doing curbside pickup, because craft beer isolation without craft beer would be just a horrible, horrible thing for me.
It's insane how much beer is actually going to be going to waste in the next few months and weeks.
Not if I can help it, Tom.
I know you're doing your best because you're a patriot, but people drink – I mean, there are two venues for consuming beer, and the biggest of the two is restaurants and bars. And those have been closed in so, so many states that a lot of beer is just going to become unusable.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
I like to just plug the Elizabeth Peabody House. The Elizabeth Peabody House doing great works in the Somerville, Massachusetts area for many years. I have to look that up. We have a great food pantry where we provide free meals for families who are experiencing a little deprivation at this terrible time during this coronavirus. And also, during other times. Take a look at the website, Elizabeth Peabody House, and if you feel so inclined, please do. Give as much as you can. And also, Mouseketeers. That's right, Mouseketeers. For all your face mask needs and mouse ear needs, Mouseketeers on Etsy. That's Mouseketeers, E-A-R-S, and Etsy.
Actually, it's just Mouseketeer Trading Company. There's no S on it.
There's no S?
There's no S. S.
No wonder I can't order shit.
Mouseketeer, E-A-R, so they don't get sued, trading company.
Mouseketeer. And that will do it for us. Mikey. Beautiful, beautiful Mikey. God damn you, sexy beast.
Yeah.
What's this podcast like to you?
It is like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, got any last words of wisdom for us?
It's like a Mitch McConnell free zone.
I really hope we all remember who's doing us right and who's doing us wrong in these terrible times. Ruth Christie's doing us wrong. Shake Shack doing us right. Kind of remember. Try to remember, guys. Josh, Shake Shack. Is that your sector?
I don't know. Shake Shack's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But they did accidentally get a whole bunch of money from the government and gave it back. Without question, they're like, "We don't need this. We're good."
I'll think it was.
You mean they did the minimal thing to the minimal amount to do the right thing? They didn't embezzle money from the government. It's not the
well. They
the
were
highest,
actually they
the
were actually
esteem.
They were actually company. Sent it without even asking for it because they just
No, they didn't have applications.
Well, they sent it back really quick. I'm glad they did.
They did send it back really quick
for them.
Yeah, unlike those super packs, which all got money, by the way. So if you guys had listened to me and made a fucking super pack, You could have got a bunch of money. In fact, even though super PACs who are like, we don't need government handouts, this is crazy, are taking government handouts. But anyway, I'd like to thank eBay. eBay supplying all of my Silver Age comic needs in this time of not being able to go to comic book shops. I just got issues number 59 and 60 of Uncanny X-Men, only 47 to go to have the entire run.
As long as we're thanking eBay, I'd also like to thank them for getting me two different Marvel Christmas issues. My favorite one, called Chinese Food for Hanukkah, which features Ben Grimm and Kitty Pryde going out for Chinese food and then thwarting a crime of the Mole Man.
Who the fuck outbid me on Orgo's first appearance, by the way, this week? It wasn't one of you guys, was it? You son of a bitch.
I know you did me wrong on a couple other ones. Fuck you.
I may have stolen the Inferior Five's entire run from you.
You may have. You may have. I know you did.
I may have done it twice.
Yeah.
But come on, man. Orgo's first appearance. I was so positive I was going to get that.
Best $27 I've ever spent in my life.
That was obviously not you, because this thing went for $68.
Oh, I only outbid you once. Someone else got you then.
Yeah, I had a $26 bid, and somebody bid $27, and I was like, you bastard, and I'm like, I'll get you later. And then when I went back on, it was like, it's in the 60s now. What the hell?
Well, I haven't double-checked to see if I made it, but I did see that I got you out.
Bastard.
And with that, thank you for listening to us. We really appreciate you. Don't forget to wash your hands. Try to stay 6 feet apart. Wear a goddamn face mask for a while, will you, motherfuckers? And don't do what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys. There was this big controversy about this new Star Wars thing where a Wookiee's wearing a full clothing and pulls out a lightsaber. And I was thinking to myself, if a Wookiee pulls out a lightsaber, I think I'd be relieved. Because at least he's not going to rip my arms off.
And the reason he's wearing full clothing is because he doesn't have pockets in his fur.